From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. 5 years ago today, U.S.-led forces began their invasion of Iraq. Operation Iraqi Freedom opened with a full-throttle assault on the ancient capital, Baghdad. Soon after, President Bush declared mission accomplished, but 5 years into this conflict, Iraq is still hemorrhaging from sectarian violence. Almost 4,000 U.S. troops have been killed. Still, President Bush said this morning that the war in Iraq was necessary.
We have fought the enemy on every single battlefront. And so long as terrorist danger remains, the United States of America will continue to fight the enemy wherever it makes its stand.
Voices from many sectors are calling to end the war. Togo West Jr. is one of those voices. He served as Secretary of the U.S. Army under President Clinton. When I spoke with him earlier, Secretary West said America is very divided over what to do next in Iraq.
It's pretty clear now, in terms of all the published reports and the rumblings, that senior officers of the Army and other services in the Pentagon and outside of the theater of conflict, outside Iraq, those senior commanders think it's important to the survival of the Army and to the overall health of our armed forces that a serious drawdown in numbers in Iraq be undertaken. They think the Army simply cannot sustain itself at its present rate of deployment there. That has certainly been suggested by people around Admiral Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and it's certainly behind, one would think, the departure of Admiral Fallon, who, as you know, recently stepped down as the CENTCOM commander, the commander over General Petraeus in Iraq. If you talk to General Petraeus, at least based on his joint press conference with the American ambassador to Iraq and with Vice President Cheney, he who has never served on active duty, the sense is they think that it's essential to the survival of the country's government and therefore to our national interests that we remain there for a substantial period of time. So there are three different parts of the service to talk to. If you talk to military families, those who are serving and living with the daily injury and burdens of the war, then you're faced with something like Douglas MacArthur once said, which is that it is the soldier who has served who most desires peace because he bears the most grievous burdens and wounds of war. They would like to see us out.
You and I spoke at the beginning of 2007, and the surge idea was very much on the table. I asked you about the likelihood of an increase in forces in Iraq that year, and I actually want to play you back some of what you said.
What I'm sensing is that the president is looking for a way to use a discarded term, stay the course, but yet to adjust it. That means he is likely to go for the surge idea. The problem here, of course, as has been identified by several, is that it's not a permanent solution. The fact is that the surge is about a two-year solution, just enough time for the president to complete his term in office, and to leave the problem to be resolved by his successor. I don't say that that's his purpose. It's just that's the way that the numbers work out.
Now, looking back from this moment in time, Secretary West, how do you think the surge is panning out? And do you think that there's any will to sustain the surge past this presidency?
You know, I have to say preliminarily that those must be some of the most feared words to hear. I have what you said earlier on tape, and I'm going to play it.
We didn't mean to have a This Is Your Life moment here.
But I suppose that I would say to you that it seems to have been borne out that way. The surge has been about a two-year solution for the president. At this moment, a year and a half or so. It's borne the results that he hoped for. Everyone is reporting signs of an improved set of circumstances there in Iraq. And frankly, that's good. If the deployment, the surges have contributed to a lessening of violence and a window for the Iraqi politicians to begin to stabilize the country, that would be a good thing. Unfortunately, the other part of the result has also occurred, and that is the problem still exists. This president needs to solve it, but the likelihood is that the intent is to leave that for the next president. As you know, General Petraeus, encouraged by the vice president and I guess others, has already sounded the note that when he reports to Congress, I guess next month or so, he is likely to call for a halt in deployments. That is, there is already beginning to be a drawdown of the surge, but he will call, I think, for a halt once the surge is complete and say, let's wait a month or two before we take out any more. And so we're likely to come into the election with the next president facing the substantial question of delivering either, if it's one of the two Democratic nominees, on their promises to begin taking troops out. I might say there are other commentators who are pointing out that typically with insurgencies of this sort, we are at about the middle of a normal 10-year arc of insurgencies. That is that this won't play out for another 5 years. And if we are have a strategy that says we're going to stay there until the insurgency is defeated, well, that suggests a likelihood of another 5 years minimum.
Secretary West, when you think about the different competing interests that the U.S. alone has in this, to behave honorably, to support the Iraqi people, to ensure that America's strategic interests are protected, to protect the ongoing health of the armed forces as an institution, and just on and on and on. And you think about the precarious nature of some elements of the U.S. economy right now, with oil prices being extremely high, the housing market in turbulence. What will ensure, or what could help ensure, that this war does not actually get lost in a shuffle of priorities over the coming months?
Well, I think that was probably the best summation of all the conflicting pressures and that are making this pot boil that I've heard. I don't think there's a danger that even as we begin to focus more and more of our attention as a nation and as a people, and the attention of our politicians, those who are in power and those who are campaigning for power, on the economic distress of the country, I don't think there's any likelihood that we're going to lose track of the war and of the necessity to make decisions about that war, because to some extent, more and more, the two are becoming inextricably intertwined.
Are you surprised by any of the responses of the American people to this war over time, whether it's the initial support, the initial willingness to believe that Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda were interrelated, the falling support, and what may now actually be a slight uptick in support for staying longer. Are you surprised at all by how the American people who are at home, civilians, look at the war? And how much influence, in your opinion, having had such an interesting vantage point, does civilian opinion have on the progress of a military action?
We have a nation with some basically conservative impulses. One of those, and it is a conservative impulse, is that when war looms, our populace tends to be reluctant to enter into war and into conflict. But another part of the conservative impulse is to believe that when the chief executive of the United States, representing both the head of government and presumably all the organs that have information to bring to bear on a problem, but also head of state, which is all the majesty and stature of this national community, speaks on an issue and says it is important to do this thing, that even though the American people are not a credulous lot, they want to have answers and information, the inclination is to support our president if he makes a reasonable case, and if the agencies under his command bring reasonable evidence forward. And so public opinion, though wary of a war, wary of a second war, could begin to move that way, understandably. As the war's toll mounts, as there is less and less evidence that the successes that were claimed to be likely, then understandably, the American people begin to doubt the wisdom of the war and to doubt the commitment. If you ask me the underlying belief, I think it is still a belief that this is a war we should not have entered. It is concern of people whom we've tried to help. But at some point, we have to ask the question, are we really helping in a way that will both contribute to their long-term well-being and allow us as a nation to fulfill our part in both for our people and in the community of nations in a realistic fashion?
If you were commander of the forces in Iraq, how soon would you want to see them leave?
I think another 5 years is way too much for us to expect of ourselves, of a nation, of our service members, and of their families. I think that we have probably done what we can there. And as the commander, I might well expect that it is time to begin to prepare for withdrawal, because a withdrawal, a drawdown, is a very difficult thing to implement. By the same token, if you are a commander who has been invested in the mission there and whose belief that success is to not leave the battlefield or the theater unless every single element that you set out as success has been achieved, then understandably even I might find myself reluctant to leave as long as I could fashion arguments from my superiors that said, we're making progress here, we're making progress there. If I were making my decisions from the safety of back here in the United States, from a vantage point that says I can see all the interests that compete for the attention of this country around the world, it might be a clearer decision, and I might be much more inclined to say, as I am, we need to continue planning to depart from that theater.
Secretary West, thank you so much for your time.
It's been a pleasure.
Togo West Jr. is the former Secretary of the U.S. Army.